Yeah. Well, the problem with sun per se is that probably here in New Zealand and especially in South New Zealand, you several months of the year, no matter how much you stand in the sun, you can't get any, make any vitamin D, because it has to be only in the summer. In your winter months, the angle of the sun coming in is not a sufficient energy to make the reaction happen in your skin. And so those times of the year, in extreme southern portions, it could be 6 months of the year that you, no matter how much time you spend in the sun, you can't utilize. And especially if you're dark skin color. So that's not really a feasible way to do it. Tanning beds are more controlled. You can control how much you get and how much how much UV, and then I mean, I see it when we look at studies, and you'll see look at somebody's vitamin D in their blood, and supposedly they're not taking any vitamin D, but their levels are very high. And then when you press these individuals, usually young people, they initially lie and said, no, I don't go to a sunbed, because when they tell a health professional that, they yell at them. But when you press them, because you see what's in their blood, they'll fess up, they'll be truthful and say, yeah, I go to the tanning bed, because their vitamin D levels in their blood is quite substantial.
So that kind of research does go against everything that we get drummed into us, though, about the sun and tanning beds.
I don't really believe that tanning beds are, I mean, skin and the sun do damage to your skin. And there's no doubt about it. I mean, it causes skin aging. It can cause simple skin cancers like basal cell cancer, which are easily treatable. But then the dermatologists make this leap from simple skin cancer to malignant melanoma. And the evidence to suggest that sun exposure linked to melanoma is extraordinarily weak. It's just that it's been accepted by the dermatology committee as fact, when in fact it's very the evidence is quite weak, and in fact the evidence is much stronger that vitamin D levels, higher levels, prevent other internal cancers to a much stronger level than sun exposure causes malignant melanoma.
This is quite shocking what you're saying to me,
The data are extraordinarily weak for that. Yeah.
So, okay, why would that message be put out here?
It's just a simple cause and effect. That sun exposure, which is known to cause simple skin cancers, then it also must be a risk factor for the development of melanoma, when many times melanoma is developed in the places on the body that never sees the light of day. Especially people of color, oftentimes on the bottom of their feet or in between their toes, see melanoma in the back of the eye, in the nostrils, in internal areas that are never exposed to the sun. So, basal and other cancers like basal cell are never, almost never occur where sun exposure doesn't happen. And with melanoma, that's not true.
That's true. My grandmother had it on her shoulder.
Yeah, and how much sun did she get on the sole of her feet?
She was an English rose. She did nothing, no part of her body.
Yeah.
So, okay, so what message would you have then in terms of the benefits then of sun exposure?
Well, the benefit, I mean, I'm not advocating people go out and just sun themselves, because it does do skin damage. And it can cause disfiguring basal and squamous cell cancers, which have to be dealt with. But you have to basically in moderation, if you want to do sun in moderation. And sun creams have been another factor, is that in the United States, until recently, the sun creams that we used only blocked ultraviolet B radiation. So you have ultraviolet B and ultraviolet A. And ultraviolet A was not blocked by these creams. Well, ultraviolet A does its own damage to the skin, yet you would put the sun cream on and be under the impression that you could go in the sun now and do anything you wanted, when in fact what was happening is the ultraviolet B that causes some damage also makes vitamin D get converted in your skin. And by putting that on, you stop that from happening altogether. yet you're still getting sun damage from ultraviolet A, which is causing it can cause damage on its own. And to me, if you look at the statistics in the United States about the use of sun cream over the past decades, the incidence of skin cancer and sun cream use are in lockstep up, meaning they're related. So since we started using sun creams, the incidence of skin cancers has not gone down. It's gone up. And when asked about that, the dermatologist, the question I get back is, it's really complicated. You know, we don't want to talk about that right now. And the truth of the matter is they don't know why that occurs. And so it was simple. If you apply sun cream and prevent skin damage, which you do, okay, it doesn't automatically stop the other damage that's occurring in the skin.
So what about getting vitamin D? How do we actually get vitamin D?
The answer to that is it has to be gotten through supplementation, an oral or fortification. Because unless you live in a sunny climate and you're outside all year round, it's just not possible to get it. And so the other problem is that we've been told for so long the absolute minute amount of vitamin D that we needed to take in our diet to meet our demands, and it was based on basically on guesswork and diet. It was never based on much scientific evidence. And basically 50 years ago, a physician in the United States said, well, I think that we need 200 units for an adult, and so that's what it's going to be, and that's where that recommendation came from. And the truth of the fact, it was all based on infant nutrition, not on adults. And because of that, it's carried through. And the truth of the matter is, you know, 400 units to a newborn infant is just fine. They're small. But 400 units to a large adult is nothing. It just gets lost. It doesn't do a thing. So you need to take, you know, 10 times that much, say 4,000 units. And in fact, in our studies in the States, 10-year or our $10 million five-year study funded by our government, it's exactly what we did in pregnant women. We supplemented these women with up to 4,000 units a day starting in the beginning of their pregnancy till the end. And it was basically initiated as a safety study to see if we didn't hurt anybody. And we didn't have one single adverse effect of any of this for any of the patients that we looked at over a 6-year period.
So supplementation, is it not possible to get it through diet and sun exposure?
You can't get it through diet at all.
Oh, okay.
There's no vitamin D in natural food sources. Very few oily fish, fortified dairy products in the States, which I guess you don't do here. And so vitamin D does not occur in foodstuffs. Natural foodstuffs, unless you're an Eskimo and you're eating a lot of, you know, wild salmon or codfish.
Okay.
Eating a balanced diet, you'll get nothing.
So we should be having fortified food sources and/or supplementation.
Fortified foods is the only way to get something like vitamin D into the general population. Because remember, and I've been told this, I don't often agree with what the government people tell me, but this part I do agree with, is that supplementation is only done by highly motivated individuals. But if you want to reach everybody, you need to have fortification foods for whatever you're trying to deliver.
Okay. Just go back to sun exposure. If you had someone like me who's fair skin and living in Auckland, what would you recommend for?
Well, if you wanted to get a good a dose, you would wear a bathing suit that would show a fair amount of your skin. Between 10 and 2 o'clock on a sunny day, and so you would need maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and you're not going to get burned, and that would make quite a lot of vitamin D. But again, if you do it before or after those times, the rays of the sun aren't very potent, and they don't make the reaction occur in your skin as it would. And then if you go into the wintertime, no matter what time of day it is, the energy of the sun isn't enough to make that reaction happen. And just one other thing is that people, and this is a common misnomer, is they say go in the sun, and if you show your hands and your face, that's sufficient. Well, it's not sufficient because that's only about 5 to 10% of your body surface area, and that's not enough body surface area to make a difference, even in intense sunlight.
Okay. So if we go back to that example as well, we had someone, someone with darker skin.
Yeah, well, somebody like you that would take 10 or 15 minutes, that darker skinned person would have to be out there for 1.5 hours
with no sunscreen on.
And so it's okay if you live in sub-Saharan Africa where it's sunny all the time and you're outside. But the truth of the matter is people of color who live in here or in northern latitudes in the States simply cannot get enough vitamin D from the sun no matter what they do.
Yeah, okay. And just back to aspects as well, because I think I'm another really the idea of putting your infant out in the direct sunlight just seems so wrong.
Well, I mean, that was a recommendation that was made by pediatricians based on vitamin D doing damage to your skin. And nobody wants to put their infant in enough sun to make them turn red and aggravation. But as anything else, you in moderation, that's how we were as people. And I use the analogy is that plants, of course, have photosynthesis. And if you take their sun source away, they will die. And humans have photosynthesis, too. It's just not as required by us to sustain life, although it's life-sustaining, as it is for a plant. So it's essentially humans photosynthesize vitamin D, and you neither need to have it made that way, or you need to have it supplemented in because people now live where people never lived before.
And so how long should I be putting...
Again, in a very short period of time, 10 minutes in sunlight, it'll matter. But again, you'll come back into the winter time, and you can leave the infant out all day long, and the sun's not going to matter.
Yeah, but a dark skin baby would still be
same thing. Enormous amount of time. And the darker the skin, the more very, very, very dark skinned people are going to need up to 10 times the sun exposure to generate the amount of vitamin D. I mean, that's basically how human beings adapted living away from these high sun areas like the sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
When they moved north or south, their skin lost that pigmentation basically to compensate for the lack of sunlight that we get,
so we could.
Okay.
So I'm assuming then we're all walking around vitamin D deficient.
Pretty much. Not me.
What's the impact of that?
I think other than the skeletal part, which we've known for a long time, it contributes greatly to the increased risk of chronic disease, such as heart disease, cancer, autoimmune disease, multiple sclerosis. All these things have been linked now. And the new data in the last few years is not just conjecture. You're actually isolating the genes that are controlled by vitamin D that show you exactly how these things are controlled and require vitamin D to function.
Do you find that you're paddling against the current with our professional here in the state?
Starting back when we were really peddling against the current in 2000, we made a lot. It's not just me, there are many others. Dr. Scragg here in New Zealand was one of the pioneers of this as well. So that was really peddling against prior to 2000. But now it's becoming way more medically accepted. And a lot of that is not driven only through physicians. It's driven through public awareness in the States because it ends up on Oprah. And everybody, women watch Oprah. Women control most of the healthcare decisions within their families. So they target this information to women because they're the ones that make their families aware of what they need. And so the public opinion, it's not really swimming against the tide as much as it was.
But it's quite in terms of mentioning that, like our Ministry of Health and various other things put into this melanoma, I mean, huge advertising campaign.
It's
like turning around saying actually smoking isn't that bad for you after all.
They call it the epidemiologic evidence. But there's never been a trial where you've got some people to smoke and some not to. Basically the way that they look at that is called epidemiologic studies and risk factors. And when you look at smoking as a risk factor for lung cancer, it's off the charts. Okay, and this is how they look at these things. The fact is the epidemiologic for sun exposure or sunbed exposure and melanoma is extraordinarily weak, and in fact many trials don't even show an effect. And so the negative trials have been ignored, and only the ones that have shown weak exposure have been accepted. And so they're not in the same ballpark at all.
The barrier to the supplementation, though, is it just cost?
No, the berries, the supplementation go back to the idea that too much vitamin D is toxic, based on studies that were invalid decades ago. And those studies have never been really refuted, and once they make their and get entrenched into the medical literature, it overrides all decisions that are made. So basically, the amount that they said was toxic based on awful scientific studies years ago have not been persuaded to be dismissed. And even though that we now know that the amounts that they said were toxic probably aren't even enough.
So you... What feedback are you getting from our health officials here?
Last night at dinner, they're going forth with possibilities of food fortification, which I think is a good thing. I mean, it's easy to do. In the States, they do it in milk, and I know supply they have for decades. They just don't do enough. And more recently, they put it in orange juice and other things. Some people don't drink milk, so they get it in orange juice. They might do it in cheese or butter. It's very, very simple to fortify, and it's actually quite stable in those formats. So there's a variety of ways you can do it. The key is to convince them to do enough to really matter.
And I should just get you to touch quickly on pregnant women as well, because that was one of the...
All right, so here I'm going to have a big problem with the officials, because our studies that have cost a ton of money to do, I am now recommending, if it was my wife or my daughter or anybody else that I know, and that I say, look, 4,000 units a day is what you need. And it's not harmful, potentially many potential good effects, but we have seen no evidence whatsoever that there's one iota of harm in doing that to pregnant women, and possibly great benefits to the baby.
Okay. So that's how much more than what?
That's 10 times the current. Well, if you assume that 400 is what's now, 400 units is what's recommended, some places it's 200, some it's 4. So it's anywhere between 10 and 20 times what's currently recommended for pregnant women. And this goes back again to bad data that suggested that vitamin D was tetragenic and harmful to the fetus, all of which are totally false.